Yes, Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho, hey ho. Baby, I'm in love with you.
When I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Baby, I'm in love with you.
Mean, colorful ghosts will try to stop you, but you just keep on eating those dots because you will always be Miss Pac-Man. And that is why I love you. Oh, no.
Gotta say, you know what somebody keeps requesting for me to play is the music from Act One. Those of you who played Miss Pac-Man know what I'm talking about. The Act One when she meets Pac-Man. That music. Everybody really likes that. And I found it one day and I don't know what happened. Browser crashed. Thank you, Firefox. and I could never get back to it. But we are still having Miss Pac-Man Day, and I'm working on getting a download of that for those of you who are asking for it. Yes, I know you want our music. I know. I have to get him to answer or at least go over one more little legal snafu before we start putting this stuff up for download. Yeah. Anyway, how y'all doing out there? It is Thursday. Lunch with Jen. Corey.
It is Thursday, and I am Corey.
What? Huh? Oh.
Wait, what?
That makes me Miss Pac-Man then.
And I may have found what you're looking for.
I'm going to put me a big old pink bow on my head, I think, and just...
Oh, yeah. That sounds good.
Yes, I need to be a big pink bow on my head, and I'm just going to run around outside of my yard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I swear, if I ever get a tattoo, it's going to be just Miss Pac-Man.
I'm sorry to say mine won't be. It'll be Link.
You know, maybe that's what we should do when we go to PAX.
Ooh, you just gave me an idea. I'm not going to say that on the air either. Oh, anyway.
Oh.
Ooh, gave me an idea. Loves it. Loves
awesome.
It. Well, now we got to go to PAX because I got to do this. Anyway, good morning to you. Oh, wait a minute. I have some hellos to say to a lot of people from yesterday.
You do? Who would say hello to?
First, I got to get Twitter to run because speaking of crashes, Firefox crashed on me like 2 seconds ago. So now I got to open
it. Very nice, Firefox.
Loves Firefox. Delicious.
Not been crashing on me recently, but Time Warner's been back to being a little not a nice thing.
Well, I'm leaving Time Warner, hopefully, as of this week, and I will be over on the ATTUverse, I believe, permitting.
yeah.
Maybe. But I do want to say hello to the CLW83 Network, who gave us a shout-out on their show yesterday. And
yay!
Thank you.
Yeah. We like shout-outs.
We love getting love.
Yes, we do.
Okay, and I'm making sure I Twitter them, let them know we've done so. We are very interactive, in case you guys didn't know. So if you want to talk to us while we're on the show, we don't have the chat open, we don't answer the phones because it is news, but we will respond to you via Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Live on the air.
Live on air.
All right, one more thing. This Arnold Schwarzenegger thing, let me give y'all another tidbit. We're going to keep it quick, though. The babies were born the same week. Ha ha. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
And
there is a special circle in hell for you.
Wait,
yes.
It gets worse.
Yes.
It
oh,
gets
my God.
Worse. It gets worse. Maria Shriver, his wife, apparently was constantly making jokes about how much the baby looked like Arnold.
Oh, my God. Not cool. Not cool. Oh, wow. Not cool.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to say about that. Politicians, if you're going to call us evil, make sure you're not the evil one. Anyway, moving along. Did you what you got? What you got for news?
Well, now I'm all stunned and stuff. Oh, wow.
Again, for those of you who are...
Talk about betrayal.
Yes. If this is your first time listening to our show, the reason you're hearing about Arnold Schwarzenegger is because of the whole mantra about how evil video games were and they wanted them banned. So I am returning serve now. Do you see what that's like when somebody is vilifying you for...
Let me see. Made his career and his money off of violent movies.
Mm-hmm.
Is now, no longer is he the governor of California, so now he is making video games and a anime type cartoon that is violent called The Governator. And now it turns out that, hey, you know what, this whole time that we, you know, knew you were a scumbag anyways, well, now we've got proof because you've got two children less than a week apart by two different mothers.
Oh, wait, I've got another tidbit. Uh-huh. It is rumored that there are two more children out there from two other women. Yeah. So,
it would not surprise me. Oh, you're so disgusting, and I hope your wife takes you for every last penny.
You will not be back.
Yeah. You're going to end up having to do Terminator movies until you're 70 to pay that spousal support.
And guess what? We're not buying them since you don't like us.
And no.
You don't want to buy
the game. Side and protest. Don't go watch this. He's a scumbag.
Mm-hmm. No video games for you,
sir. No gamers against Arnold.
I love this show.
Fingers, I'm pointing at you right now.
Uh-huh. She's doing two fingers. Ooh, those middle ones.
Better than one.
Ooh, we'll tell you what those fingers mean later on tonight's show. We can't say it during the day. Well, we could, but we like it.
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess I should actually start some news and stop thinking about, oh my God, how disgusting that guy is.
Amen. Hello.
All right. So you think you're funny, powered by The Sims 3. The Sims searches for the comedy stars of tomorrow with sponsorship of So You Think You're Funny. Best-selling game franchise, The Sims 3, which allows players to play life in a virtual world, is set to sponsor the UK's longest-running and most established new act comedy competition, Gilded Balloons, So You Think You're Funny. Involvement in the search for fresh comedy talent will strengthen The Sims' association with humor. The game allows players to exert ultimate control over their Sims' personalities and actions, creating hilarious gaming moments. Previous winners of So You Think You're Funny include successful artist Peter Kay, Rhonda Cameron, Lee Mack, and most recently, James Kirk, with the judging panel including some of the biggest names in comedy. No, they don't. The So You Think You're Funny competition launches on the 23rd of May with the first of a series of UK showcases of new acts on the comedy scene. So what does this have to do with gaming? Throughout the selection process, the acts and audience will be able to get their hands on exclusive Sim goodie bags and prizes, and there will be the chance to play the game at the Gilded Balloon venue during the Fringe. Claudia Harris, head of marketing for The Sims 3, comments, "We can't wait to help kickstart the search for new comedy talent through the great platform of So You Think You're Funny. Humor has always been a large part of The Sims, and we hope our activity in the lead up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival will show comedy enthusiasts just how funny the game can be. Sims fans can look forward to more exciting comedy news throughout the year as we look to cement the game's base in comedy." Yeah.
I am going to say
do we need any more shows of So You Think You Can, whatever?
It's not even that. I think it's going to fail on an epic scale because you guys remember a couple of years ago when they had a singing contest when Lily Allen's song Smile came out, which I was in, and I got robbed because I don't think I should have won, but I do believe I was in the top three, but they didn't control voting. EA later on bought the company that was hosting the contest, and it was a kind of a karaoke online thing, and it ended up doing horribly after they bought it because they didn't put any, you know, they didn't put any oomph behind it. They bought it, and it ended up shutting down. So that was at a time when they thought, oh, video games and music, and video games and music do go together, but you probably don't need to be the one doing it. You need to hook up with a company and just kind of what we call co-parent with them. We'll put our brand on it and your music, and we'll help promote the music from within a game, not own it, because that's not your area of expertise. That kind of be like us deciding we're going to get into selling shoes that have nothing to do with gaming.
Yeah.
Although we do sell shoes, but they have to do with gaming. Different, you know. I might want Ms. Pac-Man on my high heels, and I do.
Oh, that'd be hot. Do they have
hotline? Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Oh. You already knew what I was thinking. I'm already over at Google.
That's right.
Pac-Man high heels.
That's right. You got Betty Boop high heels, Miss Pac-Man. I think there's a Wonder Woman. So those are geeky things, yes. But just me deciding I'm going to sell, you know, Joel Madden for no reason at all, has no connection to gaming, is not going to work. I think EA needs to sit down somewhere, as my grandmother used to say. Sit down somewhere. Stop causing trouble. Do something. All right. So, well, I can't believe. I was pretty sure that Ginger was going to grab this story, but she did not, so I'm going to. Ha ha.
Okay.
LitzCon!
Yes, I was going to, but then I was like, I got to grab this other one.
LitzCon has released their first round of tickets, or they will, on May the 21st. That's 2 days from now. Breathe. Breathe. They've posted a reminder up on Battle.net that tickets for its annual Fan Fest BlitzCon will go on sale this coming weekend. So the very first round of tickets will go on sale Saturday, May 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific time through the online Blizzard store. If you intend on attending the event, you should act fast. The tickets do tend to sell out quickly.
Thank you. I want to say last year they sold out within, like, minutes.
Mm-hmm. A second round of tickets, of course, will go on sale on the 25th of May at 7 p.m. Tickets for the special pre-BlitzCon charity dinner to benefit the Children's Hospital of Orange County will go on sale on May the 28th. That's on Saturday. Of course, for more details and activities on this year's BlitzCon, you can go to www.blizzcon.com. Yay! And that's from our friends at Blues News.
Blues News! Yay! Wow. All right. I guess it's my turn. I got to stop staring at what I was just looking at.
Yes, I'm going to look while you're talking.
Yeah. Okay. Players doing good. I always love these stories. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Play for Japan raises $120,000 through charity auctions. Play for Japan has managed to raise an impressive $120,000 for Japan relief efforts since its inception. The charity was put together to support the victims of earthquakes and tsunamis in Japan. A large portion of the country was affected, with nearly 15,000 deaths attributed to the March natural disaster that put the country in turmoil. Developers, publishers, and fans donated game-related merchandise to charity auctions to raise funds for relief organizations such as the Red Cross. The large amount of cash raised to date is a good indicator that the auctions are a great success for the group. Currently, the group is auctioning a variety of God of War-related items. You can check those items out and bid on them over at playforjapan.org. Yay! And all right, that's the end of that story. And Corey's either muted or gone.
Well, I was eating some ciabatta somethings that I got from from Starbucks. I don't know. Okay.
I want those, by the way. That whole set.
Let me see. Yeah, we'll share these with you after the show, by the way, since you're wondering what the fuzzy we're looking at.
It's hot.
It is rather hot. Yeah, I think I must have these myself. All right. Well, I know my birthday has passed, but it's never too late for you guys to, you know. And Ginger's birthday is coming up in October.
It is? Yay!
So Ginger needs presents, too.
Yes, I do.
All right, well... Here's some juicy, and it has nothing to do with PlayStation Network, believe it or not.
Uh-oh, who's in trouble this time?
Zynga.
What'd they do?
Zynga is being sued over Oregon Trail on Facebook, so I guess we need to stop playing that. Social games giant Zynga is being sued by educational publisher Houghton Mifflin Harcourt over the use of the name Oregon Trail. This is from our friend at gamesindustry.biz. The suit alleges that a division of HMH, the learning company, approached Zynga about making a Facebook version of its 80s game, Oregon Trail, back in 2008. But the company eventually teamed with Blue Fang Games and launched the title earlier this year. This hasn't, of course, stopped Zynga from developing Frontierville's Oregon Trail, due for release at the end of this week. However, the learning company claims a trademark for the name Oregon Trail as it relates to games, and it's demanding Zynga stops using the name and pays damages, although no amount is named in court documents. According to the Boston Business Journal, the court documents state that Zynga has a reputation in the gaming industry as a developer that disregards others' intellectual property rights.
Zynga, come on. Oh, that's...
And it cites previous articles from SF Weekly and Business Insider from last year. Zeniga, this is not the way to start out life.
No.
And they have been ever expanding. They bought quite a few companies in the last 12 months, 14 and to be exact, and hired a bunch of iPhone people to work, you know, gurus, open source gurus. I mean, y'all need to tone it down. People are not going to like you. You're becoming EA. You're becoming the devil.
Oh, you do not want to become EA. EA is the devil. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
now I'm going to have to go through and see what all games that I'm playing, they're made by them, and stop playing them.
Ooh, are we dumping Zenka? Are we protesting?
I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to be stealing other people's work, then yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking
same.
So.
I did not know this. I thought that they had gotten permission. I was like, oh, what a good thing they're doing, you know, because this is a good game from back in the day. It's kind of educational.
I love me.
So that makes
Oregon
me wonder.
Trail.
Okay, there's several versions of Oregon Trail floating around out there. Like, I have one on my Virgin mobile phone, and I know there's one for Android. Are all of those not by that company? Do they not belong to Hawks?
Oh, I'll be mad because I paid for mine on my iPhone.
I know I did. I paid for a subscription, so I could play it whenever I want. I don't have to download it, so I'm not happy.
That is not not good. Not good, people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess it's my turn for a story.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, TT Games, and LEGO Group announced LEGO Harry Potter years 5 to 7. New game connects the bricks of the final chapters. The Wizarding World will never be the same. The follow-up to the hit game LEGO Harry Potter Years 1 through 4 will be available in the fourth quarter of 2011 for the Xbox 360 video, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PSP, NGP system, Wii system, Nintendo DS, and Nintendo 3DS handheld systems. Oh, and Windows PC. Right. By the way, developers, when you write these things, you don't have to write out the full name of the system. Really, you don't. Based on the last three Harry Potter books and final four films, LEGO Harry Potter Years 5 to 7 takes players through Harry Potter's heroic adventures in the Muggle and Wizarding worlds. From Privet Drive and the Little Winging to Diagon Alley, Hogsmeade and Hogwarts, plus new locations including Grimwald Place, the Ministry of Magic, and Godric's Hollow, players will encounter new faces, new challenges, and new magic, preparing them for the ultimate face-off against Lord Voldemort. Tom Stone, managing director of TT Games, says, in LEGO Harry Potter Years 5 to 7, we are giving gamers a truly epic conclusion to the most successful movie franchise in history,
yes,
with
ma'am.
Delightful gameplay for fans of all ages. We have built upon the first game, and we are giving fans even more magical abilities, puzzle-solving, and exploration, in addition to our distinctive brand of hilarious LEGO humor and charm. Samantha Ryan, hey Samantha, Senior Vice President of Development and Production at Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, says, LEGO Harry Potter Years 5 to 7 offers Harry Potter and LEGO fans an immersive experience that is fun and accessible for players of all ages. With this game, TT Games captures everything fans love about the Harry Potter universe and adds a distinct LEGO twist. LEGO Harry Potter Years 5 to 7 builds upon the magical gameplay, lessons, and potion-making skills learned in Harry Potter Years 1 through 4 to equip gamers with the tools necessary to challenge a host of new foes and some familiar ones, including He Who Must Not Be Named.
Who?
Who? The upcoming title is action-packed from start to finish, including loads of new lessons, spells, and bonus content for hours of family-friendly gaming. LEGO Harry Potter Years 5 to 7 is being developed by TT Games and will be published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. For more information, you can visit videogames.lego.com.
Well, I cannot wait to play because I love me some Harry Potter, seriously.
Yes.
I'm like, please, I just need to be allowed to see the last movie. I've been waiting. I haven't read the books yet. I'm waiting because I'm going to just sit down and read them all in a weekend. Yes, I'm going to read all seven of those books in a weekend. Watch me. I read fast, devour them.
It can be done.
Yeah, but I don't want to. I don't want to read them while I'm watching the movies. Is the thing, and I've already ruined the ending for myself. But I'm still gonna watch it anyway. It's different to see it on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm having some mucus issues. We want to send a congratulations out to Encinasoft for becoming the first Mac developer to reach a very historic 1 million downloads on the Mac App Store. Mm-hmm. Should I give them some applause, you think?
You should, maybe.
That's amazing. That's an amazing feat. There you go. Yay. The indie developer consultant sent this over to us. IntinaSoft, of course, is an indie developer. They primarily develop educational board, puzzle, and word games for the Mac operating system, not for PC. And they are happy to announce they're the first developer to achieve this milestone. Since the official January opening of the Mac App Store by Apple, IntinaSoft has averaged an unprecedented 7,000 downloads per day of its paid and free applications. IntinaSoft is the largest application provider currently on the Mac App Store with 31 total applications. Currently, the company's most popular applications within the Mac App Store are Doodle Hangman, Fantastic Four in a Row, I love it, Mahjong Deluxe, and Ultimate Word Search. See, just practical old-school games made new. They said, we have incredible talent within our organization. The applications they've developed have become so popular so quickly with its Mac consumers. This is from Blanca Valencia, who's the president of IntinaSoft. The Mac App Store has allowed us to compete with much larger developers and reach out to a much broader audience than we could have ever imagined. Through the store, Mac users throughout the world can now learn from and experience our tremendous applications firsthand. They are based in, you would never guess this, Mazatlan, Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they're a close-knit team of programmers, designers, artists, and musicians, even committed to delivering the best and most entertaining content in the areas of educational board, puzzle, and word games to consumers of all ages. They were founded really recently, back in 2009, and of course they've already made a lasting impression on the Mac app market and also on the iPhone and iPod Touch and iPad. They are rocking, and iTunes. They are rocking all of them. So congratulations to you guys. Good to see you doing it. I think this has more to do with a lot of people aren't developing on Mac yet, but now that you've done this, believe you me, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Good that you got in first, though. Good job. I love to see the Cinderella stories happen.
Cinderella stories.
I also want to warn you all, I have an espresso in my hand. Be afraid.
And I'm apparently coughing my head off again.
Run.
Yay! Okay, my turn. Another story. Rocktropia Virtual World aims to make the devil pay to heal reality. Mm-hmm. Rocktropia, the music virtual world, is proud to announce the first Make the Devil Pay event. Gamers from all over the world are invited to battle virtual evil and hell to save and change the real world. Hell is a diabolical rock and roll inspired destination fully realized with stunning CryEngine 2 graphics. Make the Devil Pay event will occur on a regular basis as Rocktropia utilizes its robust real cash economy to galvanize the online gaming community to tackle worthy causes and affect change in the real world.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm hearing weird noises. Rocktropia's first campaign in its brand new Hell event area aims to raise up to $15,000 for Erica Cowell's Liberation Fund. Erica is a 36-year-old jazz blues singer living in Montreal, Canada. She and her husband are both passionate gamers and Rocktropia players. Erica's avatar name is Olivia Live Forever. Erica is currently diagnosed with MS, and she is in need of financial help to undergo a revolutionary new treatment which can liberate her from her wheelchair and drastically improve her quality of life. Funds will be collected in the form of taxes on demon hunting and mining that takes place in the Rocktropia Hell Mines. 100% of taxes collected during the campaign will be held in escrow until such time that sufficient funds have been raised to help pay for her treatment, at which time MindArk, the developer of the Entropia Universe platform, will oversee the distribution of funds. New gamers and supporters wishing to participate in the Make the Devil Pay event should visit Rocktropia.com, where they can download the Rocktropia Virtual World software for free and create a free avatar account. There are absolutely no subscription fees required to maintain an Entropia Universe avatar account. Cyber celebrity John Never Die Jacobs, founder of Rocktropia, stated, I have known Erica's avatar for a few years and have been touched by her enthusiasm and passion for life. The liberation treatment appears to be quite an extraordinary breakthrough in the treatment of MS and provides hope where there was once little or none. I am very keen to put the awesome power of Rocktropia's real cash economy to the test to help make a difference on Erica's life. I also believe this is a great opportunity to empower gamers to show their might and make a difference as a community. To learn more about the liberation treatment and Erica Cowell, check out the links below, which are operationforerica.com or you can find it over on facebook.com/Lady Eddington. Yay! Yay! I think that's awesome that they're coming together like that.
I like the cause and that they're able to really, really incorporate it into gaming.
I'm going to follow this because I want to know exactly what happens with the operation if she's able to get it. That's pretty amazing. MS is a horrible disease.
I got you. Right there with you. Maybe we should contact them. See if we can get them over on the show. That would be nice.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be good. Have them pop on one morning. We'll talk about that after. We should not be talking about that on the air.
All right, 1 second.
All right, well, while she's popping away, I am not sure about this. Well, I'll tell you about it. You can tell me what you think. PSN, the store, is set to return on the 24th. If my store will load, I'll tell you what the details are. I'm not happy about this. Anyway, Sony PlayStation Network store has been given a tentative return date of May the 24th, which is almost 5 weeks since it's been taken offline. That's according to the internal Sony memo seen by the guys over at Gamma Sutra. The memo states Sony intends to publish 2 updates every week for the next 2 weeks to catch up with the backlog of new DLC and games on the store, and they'll rearrange the schedule depending on the urgency. I say the urgency depending on the urgency. All of it's urgent.
It is. And aren't they back down? Are they back up?
They've been up and down.
So wasn't it yesterday they were hacked again?
I actually have 2 stories that are kind of rolled into this, so I'll give them both to you. They're saying if there's any concerns, they're willing to consider adjusting the release date of your content on the schedule, and this is the PSN content manager, Jack Osorno. Very similar to a girl I used to know. Said adjustments will be made on a case-by-case basis. The PlayStation Store is the only major service not up and running on the network. It went back online last weekend. Again, it's not fully back online, just some of the services. That would be the multiplayer features, Curiosity, and other services will be reinstated to the network following a hack, of course, in which 77 million accounts were compromised. Yay. We're so happy about that. No, we're not. This is also tied into the fact that Rockstar is a little bit irritated. It's something that's been happening. Those of you who have PS3s and picked up L.A. Noire are probably not happy that there was some overheating while playing L.A. Noire, and they believe it's the new firmware for the PlayStation 3 that's causing it. the new firmware, which is version 3.16, was introduced this week while Sony switched back on the PlayStation Network, following, of course, the massive security breach. And they're saying that they had some reports that the PS3's overheating while playing L.A. Noire or beeping 3 times before shutting down and turning itself off. And this is mostly, they're saying, the older 60-gigabyte and 80-gigabyte FAT models, which I believe I have. So I wasn't going to buy L.A. Noire for PlayStation 3 anyway. But the primary report seems to be that once you update it to 3.61, it causes it to overheat. And then it became that it wasn't just L.A. Noire, it was various games. They also were red lighting. We have the first PS3 failure name, red lighting. You got your red ring of death, you got your red lighting. We're in the red light district. Okay, so the problems range from the games freezing randomly and turning off anywhere between 30 to 2 hours of use. They also confirm that locally the multiple games Rockstar and non-Rockstar overheat or freeze only when the 3.61 is installed. So the developer, Rockstar, was urging users experiencing a problem to get in touch with Sony. Platform holder has only said it does not comment on rumor or speculation.
Yeah.
All right. So there was an update from Rockstar that says it's not just a PS3 problem. It's issues with Xbox, the Xbox version of L.A. Noire. It's also removed its original post blaming Sony's latest firmware, but it has not explained the accusations of methodology behind the suggestions that multiple games, you know, not just the Rockstar ones, overheat or freeze since 3.61 is installed. You know, I noticed the other night watching a movie, not on, you know, PSN Network, but I just had one in there, that it's loud anyway. The PlayStation 3 is really loud. And it was extra loud, like I could hear it at the front of my house, and that's a good distance away from my room.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell is that air? You know, is there a plane landing in the bedroom? What's going on? So I don't think it's just movies. Maybe I need to go in and drop my bucket and hat. I don't think it's just games. I think it's movies. It's anything you put in there.
Could be.
I don't know if my firmware updated either, so I'm going to have to go back and check. I'll get back to y'all on that.
All right. My turn. Interesting story. GamePolitics.com this morning. Researchers use video game to crack the language code.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, hot.
Carnegie Mellon University's Lori Holt and Sungju Lim and Stockholm University's Francisco Lacerda are using video game training with a mock alien language to replicate the challenges of learning languages as an infant. The research found that listeners were quick to recognize word-like units. The study was funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, National Institutes of Health, and Ricks Benkins Jubilum. Some weird name.
Phonetic spellings would help people.
To uncover how spoken words are decoded by the brain, the research team designed a video game narrated in deliberately distorted speech. The soundtrack, Unintelligible Babble in Any Language, was the only source of instruction for the 77 adult players in the study. After only 2 hours of play, the participants could reliably extract word-linked sound categories from continuous alien sounds and apply that learning to advance through the game. Traditionally, when we study adult learning in the lab, it's nothing like how infants learn language, says Holt, professor of psychology at CMU and specialist in auditory cognitive neuroscience. This video game models for adults the challenge language learning poses to infants. This presents the opportunity to study learning in ways that are just not feasible with infants. Lacerda, professor of phonetics and an expert in language acquisition, agrees that using video games is a promising new way to explore language learning. Lacerda says, this is a wonderful opportunity to approximate the task facing infants by creating a setting where adults are forced to infer what the meaning of different sound elements might be and to do it in a functional way. The research has the potential to help researchers better understand and effectively treat a number of conditions, including dyslexia and improving second language learning. Lim, a graduate student in psychology at CMU and lead author of the study, has used the game to help adults learn English. Native speakers of Japanese can use this type of training to learn English consonants they have difficulty distinguishing, she says. Holt, director of CMU's Speech Perception and Learning Laboratory, is interested in taking the study further to determine how the video game and its alien soundtrack engage different areas of the brain to produce rapid learning. The next step is to investigate this by observing players with functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, to view real-time brain reactions to the video game. Researchers will present their findings at the Acoustical Society of America's annual meeting May 23rd through the 27th in Seattle. If you want more information on the research at Carnegie Mellon, you can go to cmu.edu/research/brain. That is actually kind of flippin' neat.
That's very interesting to me.
That is. That is awesome.
See, that's also, in a weird way, kind of not new, but kind of new in a way, kind of new at the same time. Remember EverQuest, original EverQuest,
yes,
where you had the languages? I thought that was one of the most amazing game developments, and nobody's done it since, where your characters
you actually had to spend time with other characters as they spoke their language to learn it.
That's right. And I was always I always picked up Elven, and even though I was human, I spoke Elven all the time, and I would tell people, I understand you, but I don't feel like speaking Elvish. I feel like speaking English to you.
Yes, I do remember that. I remember sitting there for hours with a friend of mine not being able to understand a word he was saying.
Yeah, because to find the scroll to teach you to speak the language was always hard. You weren't just going to pick it up at the store like you can in other games. We'll just buy it here. You had to quest and find it somewhere obscure.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew where the Elvish one was. That's why I always had it. I can tell you where it is. Remember the, we'll talk about it after show. That's not true. But I'll tell Ginger where it is, just in case they bring EverQuest back, we hope. Look, and they'll probably move it as soon as I tell where it is.
I mean, if they want to re-release it with, you know, today's graphics and, you know, better this, that, or the other, that's awesome. I'd play that. But otherwise, no, I'm not going back to the old EverQuest.
Yeah.
No, and EverQuest 2, oh no, even your free stuff was crappy. So, no.
I was not happy with them. But yeah, they updated the original EverQuest with just updated graphics, but the same gameplay, oh, I would play. I'd be in there.
Add me some PvP content, and I'd be good.
That's true. Well, they were the first ones to actually have PvP content, if you think about it.
It was true, but it was more, you know, PvP servers or, you know, areas to battle in. It wasn't really...
True, but I like the whole PvP server because I got my brains laid out daily.
daily.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. Bam, she's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You are dead. Now you got to track back to your city to get your body. See, that was hotness. I'm sorry. I'm reminiscing today. Okay. I just got a very exciting press release. I'm very excited about it. I don't know if Ginger has this one already, but I have to tell about it because it's about a princess. A princess. I'd like to introduce you lovely people to Fiona.
Fiona.
Princess Fiona, not from Shrek. A new game called Mini Fighter is introducing a new character named Fiona, who joins the 14 existing fighters in their MMO brawler. What's the name of it? CJENM's. Well, that's the name of the company. At first glance, they're saying Fiona seems like a precious little princess, but beneath that facade lies a notoriously foul temper, damn straight. Fiona lashes out at her enemies using a huge pink stuffed rabbit named Alice, her one and only friend. I could do that.
That's Alice.
My Alice would have a brick in her. You can, of course, hey, if you're going to fight with a stuffed animal, she could be cute, but she needs a brick to really do damage. I'm creating some monsters out there. Girls, don't listen to me. Of course, you can meet and join in the battle with Fiona today, and it's a free-to-play brawler. Let me tell you about Fiona. Ever since she was young, the beautiful Fiona was given everything her heart desired. In time, she became impatient and self-centered and lost her sense of compassion. Thus, it's no surprise that her only friend in life is imaginary. While she may appear cute and harmless, her dark heart and wild tantrums make her a formidable opponent. Fiona, of course, can be attained by card fusion, or you have to purchase Fiona's Secret Box. She has 4 basic skills, and she comes also with 4 additional skills that she can learn to level her up. There's an event going on, let me make sure, yes, it's today through the 9th of June to celebrate her arrival. Netmarble is the name of the publisher?
Yeah.
Netmarble, they're throwing her a welcome party. So during the event, a stamp button appears on screen every 20 minutes. When a player clicks the button, he or she will receive a special stamp. You can receive a maximum of 10 per day. Your collected stamps will be exchanged for items, and the more stamps you collect, the more valuable the items will be. Of course, Fiona, with her wild mood swings and her stuffed bunny pal, adds a bold new personality to the world of Mini Fighter. So you keep an eye out for more new characters, and power characters will be joining the game in months to come. Again, you can jump into the fight and meet Fiona at their website. We'll post a link up for you because it's really, really long. I am very, very excited about Fiona. I think I also have some screenshots of her that I'll be sharing with you guys. Let me take a look at Fiona. Oh, she's awesome. She's awesome. Must have Fiona. She looks like a little princess. She's kind of got an anime thing, but she's not, oh, you know how we don't like them. So this is how you know, developers take note. This is how you make us a girl character if you're going to make one. She should be pretty and cute, but she doesn't need to show anything. So Fiona's not showing anything.
No, she doesn't need to be a little, that word that I'm not going to say on air.
Tramp? Trollop?
Trollop.
Tramp, trollop.
Right there. Yeah. That word will work. That word will work.
Oh, Lord. Y'all run. Y'all done caught us in a mood today.
Yes, y'all have.
You're like, I'm putting bricks and stuff, animals, Ginger's attacking people.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's not a good day.
No. You know who else it's not a good day for?
Who?
Android phone users.
No.
Yeah. GamePolitics.com, 99.7% of Android phones contain security holes.
I'm going to be quiet.
Tampon. A new report claims... Yeah, I might have said that. I'm going to get cut. A new report claims that around 99.7% of phones using Google's mobile operating system contain a security hole that can enable hackers to send unencrypted personal data. Mobile devices using the Android operating systems have a weakness that could allow hackers to gain full access to private information such as a calendar, contact information, and private web albums, according to a research group from Germany's University of Ulm. The security hole could also give hackers the ability to view, modify, or delete contacts, calendar events, and private pictures. Thankfully, the security flaw only affects individual phones. In a research paper, researchers at the University of Ulm detailed the flaw, testing it for vulnerabilities. They found that some Android applications could transmit unencrypted data, allowing others to eavesdrop any of the transmitted information. Researchers were tested to see if they could hack into Android data using a simple third-party application. Apparently, they found a lot of success in completing the exercise. Researchers said, we wanted to know if it's really possible to launch an impersonation attack against Google services, and started our own analysis. The short answer is yes, it is possible, and it's quite easy to do so. The hack was tested on various versions of the Android operating systems, including 2.1, 2.2, 2.2.1, 2.3.3, 2.3.4, and 3.0. Phones in the test included the Nexus One, HTC Desire, HTC Incredible S, and the newly released tablet, the Motorola Zoom.
Ooh, that's not good.
That's not good.
That's not
well,
right.
The good news, you know, is if you miss a meeting at work, you can be like, oh, hey, I got hacked. They deleted my calendar event.
And for that, I would fire you anyway.
I broke back from the club. Oh, I got hacked. They deleted your number.
I couldn't come home on time. I got hacked. They changed my
As to the private picture thing, yeah, I'm thinking if they can delete your pictures, they can probably take them too. So if you're taking pictures, be careful.
I have already told people that they don't listen.
Mm-mm. No, you should not do that on your phone.
No, you should not be taking pictures and keeping them with the hope of posting them to Facebook.
They
usually undo themselves. They don't need any help from hackers, really.
This is true. So, sorry, Android phone users.
Oh, well, deal with it. All right, it's time for us to take a quick break. Went quick, didn't it?
Yeah, at least if you come over to the dark side and we have cookies, they track you. But, you know, we're not going to lose our personal information, it doesn't seem.
I don't get tracked, so you should come over to my side. Leave Ginger.
But my side's so much better. They have Ginger. Come on.
That's true. Ginger is on that side. That's a good argument. Well, it's that time to take a break. As I said, and the coffee is starting to kick in, so y'all know I'm going to start talking like a runaway train after the break. Here we go. Oh, we are so warbly. This is not phonage. This is warble. Look at that.
That is nah.
Oh, there we go. Remember, you can find these things on our website, www.radio.com. With any time, if you're not, you can up there. Remember, if you like this,
release my pet, and you're gonna feel the pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question? My spirit beats heads, and as we bite like Britney, babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I Rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no prevention.
Let me lower the guy down because we don't really care what he says. Anyway, So you guys got about 1 minute before we are not live anymore. Remember, you can download us to listen later. Don't panic. But you do have to download to hear the rest of the news. And it is juicy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I got some juicy stuff to share with you. Not really, but we like to keep you guys. No, actually, let me clear my throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we talked about this yesterday. It came in late in the day yesterday. But the boss over at Sony is saying, back up. We did what we did. Deal with it. So
Ooh.
But you'll have to wait after the break to hear it, which means you gotta download to hear what he said. Sorry to tease y'all.
Sony, seriously, do you really want to start taunting people?
Yeah, after we backed you up? Come on now.
I don't really think you want to do that, Sony.
I already got my brick in my...
got my brick in my dolly. I ain't scared.
I am I'm so worried about saying that. I know, we say some of our guy gamers are not rap too tight. Some of you girls out there aren't rap too tight either.
You know, and I had a conversation with a guy yesterday, day before about that. You know, some girls are crazy. And I was like, I have to admit, yeah.
I'm hoping nobody smacks a guy in the head with a dolly with a brick in it. Don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
Take his money. You do it, make sure. Well, yeah. Take his money. Take his wallet. No more hurts.
Yeah, don't physically hurt him. Just take his money. That's all you got to do. He can't buy games. Duh. You get to buy all of them. Come on, man. Well, I have this delicious, delicious story from our friends at Game Politics.
Is it delicious?
It is delicious. It is, it is eggs and ciabatta bread. Which is what I just ate. It's eggs and ciabatta bread. Oh, hot with the mozzarella. It's like, it's like hamburger bun, but a little more chewy.
That sounds good.
But it was full of eggs, because you guys know eggs are good for you. In moderation. I would like to point out, in moderation. The person who I spoke to yesterday said they eat a whole dozen eggs every morning. That's not moderation.
That is not moderation. Who is you?
That's high cholesterol is what that is. Anyway, Sony's boss is defending their handling of the security breach. Sony's he said that they acted just as swiftly as they could in doing so. This is Howard Stringer, and he added that most security breaches go unreported to consumers, and he's right, Blizzard, looking at you. When companies do inform consumers, he said it often takes them nearly a month to do so, or never at all, Blizzard, looking at you. He says, we reported in a week, and you're telling me my week wasn't fast enough? Oh, Howard. According to Stringer...
Sorry, dude. If my information's been stolen, a week is not fast enough. I want to know then so I can cancel my credit cards.
I want to know 2 seconds after you know is when I want to know.
Yes. Yes. I want you to be like, oh, my God, all the stuff's been stolen. Hey, go tell everybody.
Ginger, let me call. And let me call then, Ginger.
Yeah, then you can work on fixing it.
Look, or better yet, tell us. We'll tell everybody. It's not a problem.
Yeah. Seriously. No. No, no.
But he says only 43% of companies inform consumers about security breaches. In the United States, there are laws that require companies to tell consumers about security breaches. And with Sony's high-profile situation, you can bet the lawmakers are going to make those laws even tougher. He said this was an unprecedented situation, and this is the first time he's spoken publicly since the PSN station security breach. He said Sony is still calculating how much this whole mess will cost them in the long run. Yesterday, Stringer said that the security breaches, like the one Sony experienced, may be the new norm for companies that handle personal data. He said there's also a charge for the system being down, a charge for identity theft insurance. The charges mount up, but they don't add up to the number we can quantify just yet. And that is from Game Politics via BBC, actually. Well, I will agree with some comments here. You need a new PR manager.
Yes, you need something because...
to tell you how to speak because no.
No. No, we understand it's expensive and we understand all this other stuff, but we don't care. It's our information and you let it get out and we're not happy about it.
His comments are, they just don't look good for the company. It looks as, we did say get up and fight, but you have to fight diplomatically. This was not diplomatic.
No, this is not diplomatic. This was.
As Craig R. is saying over on Game Politics, he said, the way that he could have, the way he should have said that particular quote is that we reported in a week and we wish we could have done so faster.
Yes, yes. That is how it should have been said.
Sounds better. You're telling me that wasn't fast enough? This is not your wife you talking to about why you left your socks on the floor. This is millions of people whose data you let get loose.
So. And, you know, and at first they were saying, well, we don't even know what information was stolen. We don't even know what was taken for certain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we know because now they're using it, or they were using it as of yesterday, to re-steal people's accounts. And that is just crappy. I don't know.
As you report, look, I'm just talking as we reported yesterday. Yeah, we'll be talking about this later on. You know, tonight we're going to get raw.
Tonight, Sony's going to get it.
Howard, you should not have given us this cannon fodder.
No, but thank you. Thank you. It will work out to our, you know, advantage.
So, I think we got time for just about two more lovely, juicy, delicious stories.
All right. Exclusive previews and European debuts. GameSpot UK pushes the right buttons at London Comic Con. A trio of top titles making their European debuts will be among the awesome roster of games taking to the GameSpot UK at MCM Expo stage at London's Comic Con, May 27th through the 29th. Capcom's brilliant Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Atari's fantasy action game Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale, and P-Cube Zen United's all-girl fighter Arcana Heart 3 will all be making their first European public appearances at the show. The stage, which will be hosted by the GameSpot UK editorial team, will also be giving MCM Expo visitors exclusive previews of some of 2011's biggest games, including THQ's Red Faction Armageddon, Square Enix's cyberpunk action RPG Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Ubisoft's fantasy shooter Child of Eden, and Electronic Arts' Shadows of the Damned, a psychological action thriller from Suda51. Other games on display will include Tecmo Koi's Mecha Actioner, Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3, Namco Bandai's Cult Shooter Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, Horror Action Adventure Lucius CCG Conversion, Magic the Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers expansion, Atari's remake of classic title Warlords and Okabu, a PSN exclusive title from the creators of the Rolando series. As if all that isn't enough, the GameSpot UK at MCM Expo stage will also feature a creative assembly retrospective of its remarkable strategy game, Shogun 2 Total War, a multiplayer tournament for Red Faction Armageddon, and a costume competition, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. You can reserve May 27th through the 29th in your diary for some serious gaming goodness at the MCM Expo London Comic Con, the home of UK pop culture. For more information on which games will be at the show and when they'll be on stage, you can visit mcm.gamespot.com. If you want to get tickets for this, you can head over to mcmexpogroup.com/store. There we go. I'll get it out eventually. I was like, wow, that's all run together. Yeah, so mcmexpogroup.com/store. I cannot talk. I give up. It's Thursday. That's it. Ta-da!
You know what? I just saw in my head when you did that. I'm such a gamer.
Yeah, I'm totally like got my hands posed in the air, like the whole L shape. Ta-da!
I thought of Spore when you're... You know, when you're dancing and you have to do the little move. Yeah, that's what came.
No, I've not played Spore. I need to play Spore.
Spore has good and bad points. Anyway, one last goody. Bad gingerbread. Bad gingerbread. Okay, one more delicious, juicy story for you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see that.
Well, it's not a bad thing. This actually is working out well. Remember when we told you earlier in the week that there was a leak concerning Modern Warfare 3?
There was a leak.
Some screenshots were leaked. Some audio, some concept art was leaked to Kotaku. I told you they probably did it on purpose. And they, well, they didn't do it on purpose, but they're saying is they are winning. The CEO of Activision Publishing has suggested that the recent leaks of information regarding Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, that title is too long, I'm going to need y'all to cut it down, had an ultimately positive effect on the game's marketing, even as the source remains at large. Source remains large, like you don't know who did it. Information, screenshot, and audio, and concept art was leaked to Kotaku last Friday in a volume almost without precedent for any other video game. Activision then subsequently released the official teaser trailers for the game, which it had already, which they believe they had likely been saving to reveal closer to E3. Now, they said Friday was a really interesting and kind of cool day. That's from Eric Hirschberg, who is the CEO to website, the CEO of the game. He said this to Joystick. He said, well, it's definitely not cool to steal other people's intellectual property. I'm going to need you to get a PR agent, too. It's not cool. Come on, really? And while it's definitely not cool to leak stuff that's not yours, there are ways that you can respond that actually turn the lemons into lemonade. He says, and that's what we try to do on Friday. It'll be really easy just to obsess over the event, which was the leak, and obsess over how it happened, and that's only looking backwards. And in the meantime, your launch just started, and you aren't always in control of the schedule, the dialogue, and you need to be comfortable of those rapids in this day and age. That's actually one of the things that separates good marketing from great marketing today. Mm-hmm. He says, we woke up with a marketing crisis and wanted to go to bed with a marketing win. So what we did was kind of took that exact conversation we were having in our conference room outside and had it publicly in social media. So basically, yay. He said he admits that the source of the leak clearly had deep access and that not everything was leaked is accurate. So they're doing some internal investigations, blah, 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 blah. He said the mystery of the leak has not been solved, but they're going to just let it unfold. Eric, I believe you all know who did this. Come on. There's only so many people at the company who would have had access to this. And if you don't have cameras in your offices, you should. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, of course, are agreeing with me over on gamesindustry.biz, saying somebody says $10. Said they leaked it themselves, and everybody's saying it looks like you leaked it yourself. So we'll see. Well, or we won't see. But some people say they believe there's a pre-planned leak. But good luck to you guys. I don't know if I'll be picking up Call of Duty. I've been meaning to pick up a copy, but they come out so regularly, I don't get a chance to. Is it just me, or these come out every month? I don't know.
No, I think that's I think you're right. I think that's coming out every month.
I'm like, every time I'm like looking at the trailer going, okay, I can't get it but I'm going to pick a copy up. And we don't really have any more good contacts at Activision like we used to. So we don't get copies of it. We probably could. But thing is, I don't have time to. As soon as I go, there's a new one out.
True story.
Slow it down, people. I don't really need a new...
Slow your roll.
Yeah, I don't need a new one every week. And... man. All right. So it's time for us to get the fuzzy out of here.
Yay. And we'll be back tonight. I'll be in your chat room.
Stealing
all your chat. Derailing your show.
I think we can get Antoine to do a song.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Climbing in your chat room.
Snatching your people up.
People are ready to kick us off the off of the podcast now. They're like,
feed, hide your blog.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
And hide your webcast.
Shh, bitch.
They be derailing all those casts up in here.
Well, in honor of Ginger, I'm going to play this lovely song.
I hate my life and I want to die.
Yay!
I ain't got no iPhone. My heart is breaking, thinking suicide. I ain't got no iPhone. I hate my life and I want to die.
I ain't got no iPhone.
My heart is breaking, thinking suicide.
Wake up, capsizing. No hope on the horizon. Got a 2-year contract and I'm stuck on Verizon.
I got no iPhone. 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 I got no iPhone.
It's 2009, people, and everybody should have an iPhone.
I got no iPhone.
Say goodbye to the people, Ginger.
Goodbye, peoples. Mwah.